In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is Revelation chapter 7. You may be seated. Well, as Pastor Elliott said, All Saints' Day is November 1, Thursday, this past Thursday of this week. But Martin Luther's Day, it was quite a festival. In fact, that is why he put his 95 theses up on October 31st, because he was expecting a big crowd at his church the following day. So for us today, All Saints is a moment to pause and remember the people who brought the Christian faith to us, whether it be Abraham or Moses, Peter, Paul, Mary Magdalene. They were truly blessed people, blessed by God, blessed, first of all, to know God, to speak with Him, but also blessed that their weaknesses, their sins, and their shortcomings demonstrate the mercy of God. But I'd also like you for a moment today to think about how you came to faith. Think how that happened for you. Who was it that God used to teach you the Christian faith? Now, you did not come necessarily to faith by direct revelation like Moses did, where God just spoke to you, but He used someone. Who was that? Who was it who taught you? Who was it who brought you to the Christian faith and into the church? Who is it who has been praying for you when you were young or young in the faith? Think about that person or people right now. Now, I think of my father. Of course, there were many people in my life, but my father, because I can always remember, and I always will, sitting on his knee as about 4, 5, 6 years old, and every once in a while he would start to tell me the stories of the Bible. I remember the words and the inflections he used to talk about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Noah and the ark. And that'll be etched in my memory as long as I live. So I thank God for my father and how God used him. But think of the person who brought you to faith. Where are they now? Are they still here in the world? Or are they with the Lord in the kingdom that is to come? Well, I'd like you to consider that that person, whoever it is you're thinking about, is your saint. Without them, would you be listening to God's word right now? Now, Lutherans do recognize the saints, but we don't pray to them. We believe that, as the scriptures say in 2 Timothy, there is one mediator between God, the man Jesus Christ. And so we don't find in scripture any encouragement to call upon those who have gone on to the kingdom of heaven, or that they can hear and answer us, but we are to pray in the name of Jesus, for we have been given access to God's eternal throne through the name of Christ, and that is the name we include in our prayers. And Lutherans don't believe that the saints have extra grace to share with us from their good works on earth, because we recognize that all grace has one source. God's goodness comes to us only because of Jesus Christ, the love of God, in giving Him over to the death on the cross for the sins of all people and for our sinful lives. So we don't ask Mary or anyone else to show kindness to us because of their earthly life. We all have that in Christ Jesus directly. But we do remember the saints, because they are people that God has used to reveal His will to us, His word, and His goodness. And so we thank God for them. We, as we read their stories and learn about them, we can identify with their lives, and we can recognize how God helped them through their lives, and we can follow the example of the good works that they did. So they're an inspiration to us. And we can imitate their good works. Now, as I said, some of the saints are from Bible times. Some are from early or middle church history, or maybe some are from the modern period. And again, I think the ones that really affect us the most are the people that we're thinking of right now who helped us come to faith in Christ. I'd like you to think about some other saints, though. Think about the people who were past members of this church, St. John Lutheran Church. They didn't speak English. I'm talking about the ones who started this church back in the 1850s. Thank God for them, because poor as they were, being immigrants, they thought it was most important to establish a place of worship. And so from their poverty, they called the first pastor and teacher, and they built the first building. It cost them a lot, but it was the most important thing to do. I'm also thinking about the people who built this structure back in the 1950s. Thank God for them. You know, air conditioning was not common in churches in those days. It was just starting. But they could see to the future when all churches would have that. And so they built that in, as expensive as it was. And some of you here today are still with us from the 1950s when this church was built. So God bless you. We owe you a lot. But most have gone on to a better place. St. John, the apostle, speaks of that place when he says, "Behold, I saw a great multitude that no one could number from every tribe and nation standing before the throne and before the Lamb, holding palm branches and wearing white robes. They were crying out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God.'" And John says that all the angels fell down and joined in their worship. Now that, my friends, is a picture that we want to be in someday. What a change from the world we live in, with its wars and its bloodshed, its poverty, crime, theft. This world where people seek the beautiful life, but it's not white robes and palm branches and praising God. It's money. It's luxury. It's power over others. We all want it because we think if we just have some more money, some more property, some more freedom, we'll be happy. But what a terrible lie that is, because it is not true. And it cannot help us. Jesus says, blessedness comes not from money, but from a humble spirit. It comes from God's comfort. And it comes from the inheritance that God will give us, not here in this world, but in the next life. We are blessed when we know of these things. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst now, not for worldly pleasure, but for a righteous life. I wonder how many of you would put that on your Christmas wish list for this year, a righteous life. Do you hunger and thirst for that? Now, we are truly unworthy to be called the saints, unworthy to call on God's name as we do today and gather for his blessing. We are unworthy servants. But even unworthy servants have hope in God. For those who look to Jesus, he gives them all these blessings and more. He shed his blood for unworthy saints like us, and like the people of St. John Church before us, we have great reason to give thanks. John the Apostle said that we are the children of God. Now, we certainly know how to love children, don't we? We do anything for our children. I noticed that most of the kids who are 14 on up have a cell phone today. They're on it all the time, texting and calling, walking down the street, driving in the car. And I think, boy, add up all of those service plans. That's a lot of money, isn't it? And where do they get that money? Well, it comes from you, from parents. Because we love our children, we'll do anything for them, we'll give them anything. But how much do we love God? Do we honor him by sacrificing for him? Do we set aside an offering for him? Do we keep taking and taking and taking from God, but show little appreciation to him, and don't offer ourselves to serve him, and never really from our hearts say, "Thank you, Lord, for all you do"? Well, friends, you have an opportunity to do this, to thank the Lord for all he does. Whenever that offering plate goes around in church, you know, that's one of your opportunities. And I know it feels weird if you don't put anything in because of more social pressure, I suppose, as you know, everybody's doing it, I got to put something in. But it should go a lot farther than that. Now, next Sunday, as we gather in church, our congregation asks its members to make a pledge for the next year. And what a pledge is a simple but generous estimate of what we can expect to give during 2008. It's really a small thing to write on a piece of paper, but it really, if we take it to heart, it's a big act of trust in God. It is a commitment of ourselves. But think about the saints. Think about the people that God used to bring you to faith, who built your congregation in this place of worship. They may be in heaven, away from us, but if they could talk to you, what would they say to you this morning? What would they say if they were up here giving the sermon today? I can hear them. Can't you? They're saying, it's very simple. Trust Jesus. Worship God. Forgive our failures. But imitate and follow the good path that we left for you. It's your life. It's your money. It's your time. Do with it what you want. But remember what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And take the opportunity, whatever opportunity he opens before you, to bless the Lord and bless others who need to know the gospel that you trust in. On this day that we remember all the saints, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts to life everlasting in Christ Jesus. Amen.